go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, forgive us where we fail you. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name. We greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I want to read verse 7, and then we'll skip down to 17. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Then verse 17 says, this was fulfilled. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. I want to just comment a little bit on these verses here. Verse 7, beginning, it says, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees there, and he was trying to reveal the heart of God. He was, the very life he lived was in the Spirit of God. He says, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. If you had known what this means, you would recognize that I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, and you would not have condemned the innocent. So many times we put religious activity or an offering or something that we might do, but the Lord desires compassion. That is His Spirit. That's who He is. That's what He wants of us whenever we think of Him. He's full of compassion and not a sacrifice. Then we go on to read, and we read here about what was fulfilled about the Lord. And so, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. This is just portraying the Lord. I think part of this is he's just being what he is. He doesn't have anything to prove. He'll have the Spirit of the Lord. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out. And I think that's where he's not trying to prove who he is what this means. or try to convince anyone of who he is. He's just doing what he needs to do. He proclaims justice. It didn't mean he wouldn't say anything, he wouldn't speak up, he wouldn't be heard, because he is proclaiming justice. He's saying this is what's right, this is what's wrong, but he wasn't trying to promote himself, saying that you have to listen to this because of who I am. You know, sometimes we can read this and we say, well, nobody ever heard of him or heard from him. He didn't ever say anything. You know, we get this idea, he won't quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. What he was doing was proclaiming what was right. It wasn't promoting himself. And that's what he wasn't trying to say, I am who I am. That's why you have to listen to me. He never said that. He just said what's right and let people follow it as they would. Then he says one of his marks, a battered reed he will not break off. Nor a smoldering wick he will not put out. A lot of times we get so weary trying to help people, or trying to do good for people, trying to bring them to self-sufficiency or bring them to a place where they can reach some maturity. And it just, so many times, they never get there. And they just over and over and over again, they do the same thing. They just fail and fail and fail, or just only call you when they need you. And then after that, they're just gone again. And they don't need you anymore. They may even turn against you. But then, whenever there's a time of need, you're the one they call. That's the way it was, is with God and His Spirit, with Jesus. How many times we just completely forget about Him when we don't need Him, and then when we do, we always turn to Him, and He's there. That's what a broken reed is, or a smoldering flax. As long as there's a spark of even returning, He'll be there to fan that flame. He won't just break it off and say, I'm tired of messing with you, I'm done with you. That's not the way the Lord is. This is the Spirit that is upon Him. It's the Spirit of God that's upon Him, and that's the way it works. He will not put it out until He leads justice to victory. Until it works itself out, until everything is just the way it needs to be, that's whenever He'll quit trying. And in His name will the Gentiles hope. And then it talks here, verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and He healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. All the crowds were amazed and were saying, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? But when the Pharisees heard this, he said, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. What he's saying there, if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? In other words, what he was telling them, here was a man who was healed, that spoke from a deaf man. He was blind and mute, and he was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. Okay, why wasn't their disciples healing this man? Because they couldn't do it. So he was saying, if I'm doing this by Beelzebub's power, how do you not do it? How are you not able even to do it? And so he was saying, show me that you can do this, and then we'll discuss who's able to do it. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And here, again, the difference between the religious and God is the actions that are being performed. I mean, a lot of us were at a service yesterday, and there was a lot of talk about religion, a lot of actual bells and whistles. And one of the things that was commented about was the priest there just said, I didn't even know this man except in church. He just didn't even know him. And except for the religious service. And just the idea of pointing out that just this religious service is all that matters. Not being able to live a godly life. Several people commented about, there were some statements made whenever they were having their mass that talked about the martyrs. And that confused people, because when we think of martyrs, we think of people who have stood for the Lord throughout history. And we see that this Catholic Church has been the one that's been the persecutor of the martyrs throughout history. And so it's kind of confusing to mention about martyrs, because, well, weren't you the ones that were putting the martyrs to death? And whenever they're speaking of martyrs, they're talking about Peter and Paul and the early apostles. And they've separated the idea that these martyrs that happened later, that were actually trying to do what was right, they don't even count. They weren't martyrs, they were heretics. People who were smoldering, but they weren't bringing any fruit. They were broken. And so they were just cut off and put away. Jesus was able to do what they were talking about. He was doing what they were talking about. And they hated it. They condemned him for it. That's where it talked about that is, you've condemned the innocent. In verse 29 it says, or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? And in verse 30, I want to read a few verses here. I read all of that to show you the Spirit of Jesus versus the spirit of the world. Now I want to read this verse. I don't know how many times people have told me or thought that they've committed the unpardonable sin, so they can never be forgiven. People scared to death that they have committed this unpardonable sin. And because they've done something, they have been forgiven, and then they fell back into the sin again. And so they've just convinced themselves now that they cannot be forgiven because they've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, the very thing that Jesus was talking about the smoking flax and the broken reed, is someone that is broken. And Jesus is there waiting for them to turn to Him. Still waiting. Just if there's a spark there, if there's just a little smoke, there's no fire, there's just some smoke there, He is ready. He's not going to put that out. He's going to try to fan that to a flame. The broken reed, instead of just snapping it off, maybe there's a few fibers giving life to the end of it. He's not just going to snap that off. So that completely dispels the idea that because you failed, that you are going to be cut off and there's no forgiveness. That is not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is just what he's been talking about all through up to this. He was doing good. He was doing right. And people were saying, this is not him. He was actually performing, doing what he said the scriptures were saying that he was doing. And they rejected it. Let's go ahead and read this. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. What is the Spirit of the Lord? He just told us. He who is with me is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus and his Spirit is about gathering people, not cutting them off. His Spirit is about all that we've read about, what he does and who he is and how he is reaching out to people, not trying to cut them off. Scattering is cutting people off. That's why we teach against denominationalism and ideas of someone just because you're a part of this group or a part of that group and you can't be a part of our group. Anyone who is putting into practice the teachings that Jesus talks about is going to be accepted. If they are trying to apply what he teaches, they may fail. We pick them up and reconcile them, examining ourselves lest we also be tempted. Compassion. So many people talk about God's complete forgiveness and his mercy, but then when it comes to actual putting in things into practice, it's not that way at all. If you disagree with us, it just doesn't happen. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus was putting into practice what he was talking. The others were talking about it and separating him. He who is not with me is against me. Does that mean that we just accept every body because they say they're a Christian? No, it does not. That's not what he's meaning. He's talking about his Spirit here. He that is not with his Spirit, and that Spirit is one of gathering, one of compassion, one of drawing near, one of obedience, one of doing what's right, but not just the outward form of it, but with the spirit of it. Therefore I say unto you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. This Spirit, the blasphemy against the Spirit is rejecting who Christ was, who the Spirit of God is, and putting that into actually separating people, putting that into to the point of death, being willing to put Christ to death. Put that spirit to death to get rid of it. Doesn't mean sometimes you might not always recognize it. Sometimes there's been disagreements. But whenever you get to the point where you are absolutely right and that other person has no right at all to exist because you are right, if they're of the Spirit of Christ and you have no tolerance, like Jesus did for those, you're of that Spirit. People who've blasphemed the Holy Spirit are right. There is no question of whether there's no thought in their mind of themselves ever blaspheming or committing blasphemy. They are right, and they don't care about justice or right or wrong. Their agenda is what's going to carry the day. You can argue with them till you're blue in the face. Make point after point after point against what they're saying. And at the end, none of that matters. They come up with the same conclusion: you're wrong. And that's just exactly what they did with Jesus. Jesus was proving to them, a blind man that was mute, unable to speak, was healed. And right in front of their eyes, point, period. That should have ended all discussion about who he was. But it didn't. They just began to look for ways to prove that that is not what it really was. That's why he talked about he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will proclaim, he will do justice. It'll be right there in front of their face. And they still come up with, this is not justice. That's whenever a person that's blasphemed against the Spirit. It doesn't matter what's right. It's going to be scattered abroad. The truth is going to be scattered. He's not interested in gathering or coming to what was right. All that's going to be done is all the truth, all the right, all the facts, all the evidence right in front of your face, and it's just, it doesn't matter at all. They scatter it. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Even people recognizing for a while, maybe they didn't know who Jesus was. That'll be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, whenever it comes to the place where the Spirit behind who Jesus was, in other words, Jesus just being a man, they could miss a few points with that. Maybe it doesn't fit everything that we thought it was. So we don't maybe quite understand everything how it all looks with appearance. That can be forgiven. But whenever you see the very heart and the spirit of what he's doing and you hate that, that cannot be forgiven. You've missed everything that is trying to draw you to God. See, that's why it's not just about religion. It's about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep from the very beginning. Spirit of God moving upon man. Unless the Spirit and the Father draw you, you cannot come to Him. And I'm not talking about some magical, I'm talking about the Spirit of who He actually is. His justice, His goodness, His rightness. And it's calling us. It's so easy to misplace that with the rule book, the law book, whatever. And we take this and then we miss the very spirit of who He is, the very heart of who He is. We can get sidetracked over here once in a while and kind of get confused about some of these things. But whenever we hear the Spirit of God and who is God and what is God, and His goodness and His greatness and His compassion and His mercy and His holiness drawing us to Himself, that's who He is. When we start dissecting that, separating this point and that point, and we miss who He is, we take up with something that isn't going to get us to where we want to go. The Spirit of God and who He is, just a little picture, the little saying that you can choose a destination and accept the path that will lead you there, or you can choose a path and accept the destination that path will take you. If you choose a path instead of the Spirit, if you choose a path, you will not get to the destination you want. You will be taken to the destination that path leads. But if you choose the Spirit and who He is, follow that Spirit, the path that leads to Him will take you to Him. Any other spirit, that's what it means. Like, you can't get there another way. You can't get there by choosing your own path and hoping that it'll lead to Him. You choose Him. You choose His Spirit. And follow that path, and it will lead you to Him. The unpardonable sin is choosing the path that won't take you to Him. The unpardonable sin is choosing something other than Him and His Spirit above Him. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. The spirit of scattering. Just causing division. Causing strife. That's why the Bible talks about heresy. Heretics. And why we're not to have anything to do with them. Because they're sowing discord among brethren. And it causes trouble. And it stirs up strife. And it may appear to all work together for a little while. But that spirit of strife and discord is still there continually. And it just keeps splitting and keeps dividing and keeps separating. Because it's not the Spirit of God that's calling people together, being drawn to Him. There'll be problems. It's a hard path. But the thought, the idea behind gathering is compassion, patience, loving one another. Jesus said, the world will know you by your love one to another. How better to express love than being able to tolerate others, their weaknesses? Anybody can find faults and criticize and condemn and worry about everybody else's problems. Anybody can see the shortcomings in others. That's the way we're created. Our eyes look at other people. And it's the most natural thing in the world to be able to see everybody else's problems and be so worried about everybody else's problems. and so hard for us just to take care of our own little world. You know, if we've said it before, if everyone just does their part and not worries about everybody else's part, if everyone would just do their part, it'll all just work together like a glove. That's where love comes in. That's where patience and mercy comes in, is whenever we quit worrying about everybody else and start just taking care of ourselves. Jesus just did what he was supposed to do. When he came upon a need, he helped it. He wasn't digging around trying to find all the problems in that person's life. He wasn't trying to fix every little thing in everybody. But when he, and so by doing that, when he came to a blind man, he spoke and the blind saw. If he would have been so caught up in nitpicking and looking at everybody else's faults, he'd have never been able to do that. We spend so much time on the little things that keep us from just doing what's right. If we just take the path that he's given us, follow that. The verse that Tyler read about preferring one another. That's where the heart of sin is whenever we want our way above everybody else's. That's the heart of it. But if we'll just take care of ourselves, quit worrying about tomorrow, quit worrying about the future, and just take care of ourselves right now, tomorrow will take care of itself. May the Lord add his blessings.
God be with you.